Blog Talk Radio.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side, in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith. And I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe.
Best in Yahushua HaMashiach. Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, it is through your Son, our Savior, and our Redeemer, Mashiach Yahushua, whom you have called for, you have sent to lay his life down, to shed his blood for the sins of humanity, and have promised us through him that whatsoever we shall ask in his name, we shall receive. Therefore, it is the name that is
a powerful name, a name that opens doors, the doorway to our interaction and to our relationship with you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, and we beseech you, Heavenly Father, in that name, to please give ear to our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of life that you have bestowed upon those who are alive to see this day. You, Heavenly Father, for allowing those whom you have allowed to see another Sabbath day. And we pray that by your Spirit, you uplift our hearts, our minds, that we may take pleasure in your day, that we may fellowship with you through your Son, and that we may fellowship one with another, together and raise holy hands and lift our voices, Heavenly Father, to give praise to you, for you are worthy to be praised by the whole of your creation, for the life that you've given each and every one of us. And again, we thank you. And we beseech you, Heavenly Father, for your compassion, your graciousness, your mercifulness to be extended to us once again, because we are all sinful, Heavenly Father. We have all fallen short of your glory. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. So we ask you to forgive us, Heavenly Father, for the sin that we have committed against you from this point that we have come before you in prayer and beforehand, Heavenly Father. We pray that that slate is wiped clean, that at this point and this moment, we have a brand new start with you on your holy Sabbath day. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to strengthen each and every one of us, that we may all submit to your divine will, that we may all obey your voice, that we may all walk worthily of our calling and not go astray to the right or to the left, as we often do, but that we may all stand firmly on Yahushua, our Messiah, that we may all stand firmly on your word, that we are not moved by every wind of doctrine causes everyone to and fro. Help us, Heavenly Father, that we too may be as the trees of Lebanon planted by the riverside, receiving that nourishment from the daily flow of the waters, but in our case, the daily flow of your Spirit. In the Yahushua HaMashiach, holy and most precious name, every one of us individually, where we as individuals are weak in our walk with you, we pray for strength. Heavenly Father, help us to overcome our insufficiencies spiritually and physically, mentally and emotionally. Wherever the problem lies, Heavenly Father, we ask you to strengthen us, and we pray that you give each and every one of us individually what we need that we may all continue in your word. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our Redeemer, we come before you bowing the knees of our hearts and beseeching you once again to give ear to our prayer. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Adorah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. And Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Question. How many of us prayed at 7:30 p.m. Thursday evening? If so, hallelujah. But if not, why? Welcome once again to a special edition of Bina Dura. And for those who may be listening, I just ask that you shoot me a text to let me know whether or not we are coming through. The reception is low. Am I coming in low? Okay. Somebody said that it sounds good, so it may be the other person's perception is not coming in clear enough. Okay. So, today we're going to go off course to some degree. Instead of dealing with the next command that we had in line, we're going to look at a question that the Most High put on my heart and my mind yesterday when it was brought to my attention that I would be teaching this morning. So I asked him, you know, simply put, what do you want me to say? And the question that he gave to me, what is faith? What is it? Most High willing, by the time we end our today, we will all have a better understanding of what faith is. And I know what some people may be thinking. You know, as a matter of fact, let me turn to something that some people may be thinking. Let's go to Ibrit, which is the letter written to the Hebrews. And in the sixth chapter, starting at verse 1, listen to what has been written. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Mashiach, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Elohim. And I wanted to read that because some people believe that when you talk about faith, you're basically talking about principle doctrine, which is true because according to the 11th chapter and verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please. For he that comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is primary, Bible believers or Bible students. Faith is primary. If you don't have that first, that initial, there's no way you can move any further. But sometimes, and this is something that we've discussed before, sometimes it's good to have that review. People consider it to be, and what the word has even laid out for us as being the principal doctrine. But with the intent and purpose, now when we understand teaching, there are several teachers in the audience. Okay? And when it comes to teaching, one of the things that we've learned throughout the course of our studies is that we learn by repetition. So sometimes different doctrine has to be repeated. The reason why is because it has to get ingrained in our psyche, or let me say it this way, it has to be written on our spirit. I'm sure many people have the simple answer as being belief, which it has something to do with believing.
believing that the Most High exists. And I believe everybody on the line or whosoever shall listen to this at a later date has at least a belief in the supreme being or the higher power. But is that all that determines him? Let's look at a passage in verse 20, which starts out, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Yehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Ha aminu be Yahweh alahechem uethe aminu. Ha aminu be Yahu uhehat lichu. In other words, believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Now the word believe, which is used twice, and the word established, which is used once, all stem from the very same term. You find that word in number 539. Aman, aman. Now, when you break that word down, it is spelled Aleph, Mem, Nun. And we oftentimes like to get into the mechanics of that Hebrew language because one of the pillars to understanding the word of Yah is the acknowledgement that it was originally written in Hebrew or Hebrew because it's more mine. May I read an excerpt from a book that we have studied for some time now, and often I like to just read this introduction. And that's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to read a little bit of this introduction to you, and I think it's a very powerful introduction. And this is coming from a book called The Spice of Torah Gematria. Okay? And it says, said Rabbi Shimon, woe to the man who says that the Torah merely tells tales and ordinary matters. If this were so, we could compose even nowadays a Torah dealing with ordinary matters, and an even better one than that. In fact, all the words of the Torah represent lofty themes and sublime mystery. Now, I wanted to read that in context of what we are going to talk about today, because that introduction basically is an explanation to something that we find within the Torah, Brother Shaul, which is a passage we often quote in his letter that he wrote to the assembly in Rome. And I believe it's chapter 7, verse 14, where he said, for we know that the Torah is spiritual. And when he says that, Bible students and Bible believers, what he means by that is this. Now, he makes a contrast. Let me deal with it in context first. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So when he says that, he's showing there is a great difference between humanity and the word of the Most High. Because when he says the law, he's talking about the entirety of the word of the Most High. Okay? So there's a difference. There's a distinction. And that goes back to what Yeshayahu brings out when he says, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. So there's a great divide between what is spiritual and what is carnal or physical. Brother Shaul, he's acknowledging that. And he's going to explain a few things when you read a little further down in chapter 7. But let's just deal with that first clause. For we know that the Torah is spiritual. Not only is it representing the great divide or the separation between the spiritual and the physical, or man and God, if you will, but it is also teaching us when it comes to the word of the Most High, there is a spirituality to the word. Why? Because it was written as men were moved by the Holy Spirit. Many people argue that this word was written by men. Yes, it was, but it was motivated by the Most High. That's the difference. Why is that important? Because when we read these words, we're not merely reading the genealogies. We're not merely reading the history of our forefathers. We are also reading, as the quote said, lofty themes and sublime mysteries. But unless the Creator himself opens that word to you, you don't realize what it is that you're reading. So let's take a look at another passage, if you don't mind. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go down to verse 6, and listen to what Brother Shaul says. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Think about that. When he says not the wisdom of this world, that goes right back to the same thought Yeshayahu brings out, or Isaiah brings out, when he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, my thoughts and your thoughts. In other words, when we speak the wisdom that the Creator gives to us, it is not the wisdom of carnal man. It's not. We are speaking lofty things and sublime mysteries, and he understands that. Listen to what he said. Verse 6 again. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of Elohim in three. The hidden, which Elohim ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have executed the Master of Glory. But as it is written, now he's going to break it down for us. I ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which Elohim has prepared for them that love him. But Elohim has revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of Elohim. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, everything we know in this physical world is based on spirit of life, the seat of intellect the Creator himself gave to us, which also comes from, again, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The very life that we breathe, which allows us to think and to reason and to make decisions, come from the Most High. But it allows us to understand what's going on in the physical realm. This is what Brother Shaul is emphasizing here. Again, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of Elohim knows no man but the spirit Elohim. See? So there are things, knowledge, wisdom, understanding that belong to the Most High. Again, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So when he gave this physical world, which we have discussed, was created for the intent and purpose of teaching us about him, he gives us this word in a form and a fashion that we as physical beings can relate to, because he gave us that spirit of life so that we can experience everything in this physical world and learn and understand. Because in order for us to reach the higher thoughts and the higher ways, we have to have some understanding of where we are. This is what Brother Saul is talking about. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. You see, every human being has the spirit of the world. But in order for us to become like Elohim, he understood we need a little extra. Hence, Ruach HaKodesh, one of the purposes, one of the intentions of giving the Holy Spirit as a gift. He says, again, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Elohim. One of those things that is freely given to us of the Most High is this word. And what he's teaching us is that in order for us to understand this word, once we got to have that spirit. But not only do we have to have that spirit, in another place he says, we have to study. See, had a talk with somebody recently. And the question came up in regards to, okay, well, everybody is being given the Holy Spirit, correct? So that means if everybody has the Holy Spirit, the Creator can reveal to every individual what his will is. So that everybody is on the same page, correct? So if that's the case, what's the purpose of an apostle? Because we all have the Holy Spirit. We can all receive revelation from the Most High. So what's the purpose? Why not just pour forth the Holy Spirit on everybody, inspire everybody to see as you see, and everybody come together and function accordingly? It seems like a simple plan. But he already knows humanity. He knows that carnality. And when we hear that, what we oftentimes don't think about is this, and who even suggests that, what they don't think about is this. When we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not like the Holy Spirit enters us and then takes over. That's not what happens. The Holy Spirit is comparable to a seed. We discussed it. And when he gives us the Holy Spirit, it's as if he's planting within us that seed. But guess what? That seed has to grow. How does that seed grow? That seed, it needs water. What's the water? That means that it needs spirit, right? But hold up. The seed itself, if it is the Holy Spirit, how does the seed get more spirit? Well, he said it like this. For Moshe, every Sabbath day is taught in the synagogue. So when we come together and we go sit under whomsoever the Most High has called, whomsoever the Most High has chosen, because, again, there's an order. When we sit, we're now receiving that water so that when we leave, after we receive that instruction from the Most High, mind you, now the Most High can give us the increase. How does he give us the increase? This is where the Holy Spirit we possess comes into play. Because we now have to take the nourishing of the waters of the spirit that's given by the teacher. Matter of fact, if you want to do something to substantiate this, do a research on the term mure. What you're going to find is that it is associated with rainfall. Why in the world is it associated with rainfall? The term mure. Look it up. Some of you are already familiar with it and know that what's being said is the truth. Search it out. Affiliated with the rainfall, because what is it that the Most High is doing? Through the Mure, through the teacher, He is now replenishing that spirit or that seed that he has placed in those who have been immersed in the name of Mashiach Yahushua, so that now when they receive that teaching from that spirit of the Murray, which comes from the Creator, keep that in mind. Don't want to lose sight of that, because sometimes people get so caught up on the person of the teacher and not realize that the teacher is too a vessel that's being moved by the very Most High, Mighty One that you are seeking to have a relationship with. I hope everybody's following me. Close the door for me, please. I'm in the process of doing something. No. You got to go back out. My apologies for the interruption, family. Where was I? Talking about the Murray. Do a research on that word, okay? So I'm going to get back to this passage. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Elohim. And I was in the process of explaining why it's necessary for teachers. There is a divine order. Now, when people have this idea going around in regards to everybody having a spirit and not really needing a teacher, well, the question we have to ask is why the Most High set the order up in the first place. Brother Shaul, in another place, he said, and he set some apostles and prophets and teachers, et cetera. And he set some. Why did he set, when he knew the Holy Spirit was coming, with the purpose of setting up a 12 and a 70 order, unless there was not something that needed to be organized? He understands the carnality, see? And as was being said, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we don't automatically change. We have to grow. We have to allow the Spirit to grow. And keep in mind, we have to allow the Spirit to grow, because we can also, according to what the Word teaches, grieve the Holy Spirit. Brother Dawood, in one of his songs, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit, not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Implying that just as we have received the Holy Spirit, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be taken away from us. So we have to grow to it. The Creator knows that just receiving the Holy Spirit is not enough. So he chooses men and women. He endows them with the ability and with the gift of teaching. And he sends these men forth. They are being taught. They are being introduced now to the reality of the Most High. Because as a teacher, one of the things the Most High has to do, he has to bring you up to his reality. You have to see things the way he sees. And keep that in mind, because when you look at the world today, we want to be able to see the world the way the Most High sees it. I'm going to explain that in a moment, a little further. But let's get back to this passage. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of Elohim, which things also we speak. What things are we speaking? We are speaking those things that are freely given from the Most High. Understand that. Creator has revealed to them. The teacher has to teach based on what the Creator has revealed. So he says, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. In other words, you don't go to universities and colleges or the schools of higher learning for this. You don't. From the Most High himself, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. So if the Holy Spirit is teaching you, who is
the instructor.
I am a vessel, period. That's it. But the Creator reveals, hold up, brother. What about the time you said this and it was wrong? What about the time you said that and it was wrong? Exactly. I said it. And Abba corrected me. And I had to come back and tell you what I said was wrong. This is what Abba said. Understand that. If you stand in the stead of the Most High, he's going to keep you on point. If you're not on point, several examples throughout the scriptures of that. But let's continue. He said, verse 13 again, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, what we're doing now is this. What are we comparing? Because what the Creator has to do, see, the word of the Most High has to be real to us. The word of the Most High can't remain on the scroll. It can't remain in the book. It can't remain on the electronic device that you're using to read it from. It has to become a part of you. How does it become a part of you? You have to live it. You have to breathe it. It has to become your life source. Comes your life source. People see that. The brothers and I, we had a talk a couple of weeks ago now, I believe, just over a week ago. And found out that one of the Murey knows a cousin. But what was interesting in him telling that story is that she recognized him by the strings that he was wearing. And she already knew what he could and couldn't eat by the strings that he was wearing, because she knew me and my wife, because we live this. This is our life. We're not just telling you what the Bible says. We are living what the Bible says. And people notice that. And when they see other people who do something similar to what it is that you're doing, they automatically know this is what this person believes, and since they're here and they're about to eat some food, I can tell you what you can't eat, what you can't eat. That's powerful testimony right there. See, what that was for me when he shared that story, it substantiated what the Creator helped me to see and what was taught. You don't have to quote chapter and verse to people. Live the word. Live it. And they know by what you're doing. So much so, they can see other people, and they just need to see certain things, and they understand what it is that you're supposed to be doing. If you're living it. So when he says that we're comparing. Now that we have that experience now, we are comparing spiritual things, what it is that we have gone through in our life and what we have now touched and handled, with what he's teaching in his word. We compare that. That is how the word is made real to us. That is how we come to know that's true. Because we've been living it, and he's going to show us now in his word how to substantiate that. Okay? He says, the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Elohim. Now, understand something. We have the Heavenly Father. We have his word. We have the heavenly host. And what I mean by the heavenly host, I'm talking about the angelic beings, the Malachim. Okay? What we have to understand is that they exist outside of this physical world. They exist outside of the physical world. Once we tune with the Most High, once we receive that spirit, once we've walked and we start to grow in that spirit and our eyes become open, which is why Mashiach said, if you continue in my word, then are you my students and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When we continue that pathway, continue that walk, and we start to see, as that old saying goes, the light at the end of the tunnel, because we all in that dark tunnel. Humanity is in that dark tunnel. And we don't realize it, but we're walking further and further deep into that dark tunnel until we come across somebody who we see walking the opposite direction. And when we see them walking the opposite direction, we want to know, why are you walking this direction when everybody else is going the other way? And then they may talk to us, and they may drop that initial seed to us. And it just so happens that initial seed gives you that flash of light in reality. Just imagine that for a moment. We all walking down that dark tunnel. We don't know what's at the end of that tunnel. We're in darkness, but we don't realize we're in darkness until we come across somebody who has that light. They speak to us. We get that flash of light, and we see what's down at the end of that tunnel. Just for a moment. But from that brief moment, we now make a decision. I'm going to follow this person. I'm going to walk with this person. So we begin to walk with that person. And once we start walking with that person, then we start to see the light at the end of the other side. And as we're walking, we see other people in our direction. So sometimes we may get caught up with these people. Sometimes we may lose sight of the person that we're walking with, and we get caught back up, not realizing we turn right back around, going in the side of the darkness. But then here comes somebody else who got that same light, and they drop that seed on you again, and now they give you a little bit more water to boost that energy that you had. So there, you turn back around and you start walking with them. Hopefully everybody walking with me at this time and seeing the example that's being painted. Because this is what we do, you see, in our life. And when we get that little seed, let me go back to that we have to believe in that, which is why we change direction and begin to walk the opposite direction, you see. So I say all of that to say this. When he says the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of Elohim, why? They don't see it. They don't understand it. For they are foolishness unto him. Why so? Because it is going contrary to the direction that everybody else in the world is going. To believe in whatever it is that you believe. Look at all these people in the world going this direction that they're going. And you and these little few other people that you got walking the opposite way. Man, what's wrong with that? Y'all must be crazy or something. Something is wrong with these people. Look at them. They're going a whole different direction, and we're supposed to be going this way. He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you got to have that mind's eye open, as people like to say. See, you're not just looking through your eyes, the carnal eyes anymore. You see, remember, our thoughts are not the Creator's thoughts. Our ways are not the Creator's ways. As soon as our eyes are open with that flash of light and we see what's down at the tunnel that the other people are walking by, we get that brief moment of reality. He allowed us to see as he sees. You see, think about this. Why is it that in the story of Lot, the angel tells Lot, take his two daughters, take his wife, go up into the mountains, and don't look back. Focus on what's in front of you. But Lot's wife, she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Why is that story there? Because the Creator knows that the physical world has a hold on us. And once we start walking in that direction, he doesn't want us to get caught up in that physical world again. So he put these different stories in there to teach us what could happen when we look back. When we look back, there's a potentiality of us getting caught right back up and going the wrong direction. So when you think about the natural man, the natural man in another sense is the carnally minded man, which the scripture says the carnal mind is enmity, okay, enemy and opponent, okay? So when we hear the natural man, same thing. But listen to what he says. He says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of Adonai that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Mashiach, the mind of Mashiach. And I believe that the Morey who spoke this past evening mentioned something along those lines. Okay? So, when it comes to faith, when we look at this word, what exactly does it mean? Now, in some sense, meaning of to believe, you know, but as we've been discussing, this is the word of the Most High. What else is he teaching us in this word? So when we look the word up, again, the word is aman, and when you break the word down, it's spelled aleph, mem, nun, but the parent root, the two letters that this word is founded on is the mem and the nun. The mem is water. And when you think about water, think about the many connotations of water and what it's able to do. Okay? Connotations of water and what water is able to do. Water can do a variety of things. Water can build up. Water can tear down. Okay? But when you connect it now with the nun, which is that seed, which we understand to be that word, right? But the seed also has the meaning of continuity, because that's exactly what a seed does. A seed continues whatever the species is. If it's a human being, the seed continues that species. If it's a plant, the seed continues that species, whatever it is, so that it continues to exist. So now you have continuity, right? Two together. Because water, again, it has the property to do a variety of things depending on the context. It can build up. It can tear down. But when you look at it in light of what we're discussing, you're talking about to make something solid. Solid, excuse me. S-O-L-I-D. Or resilient. In other words, it has the property to make something firm. Think about the power of water and the continuity of the sea. You're talking about something being made firm, okay? You have the idea of something that is being made sure. And when you think about that, you're talking about something that is certain, something that is definite, something that is reliable or guaranteed. Now you add to that the aleph, which we already know is symbolic of the Creator himself, because it's the first letter. It's the primary. And then it's the octet, which represents strength. So when you think about the term aman, times fail to realize, not only is this a term that means belief, but as it's used in our opening passage, it says, believe in Yahweh, your mighty one, so shall you be established. See? That's the same word. Same term. It will help us to be established. It strengthens us. See, when you think about faith, faith is powerful. But here's a question, and it's an interesting question. How many of us actually believe that? If faith is powerful, think about something that Mashiach said. Why did he teach us that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains? Why would he say that? If faith was not something that makes us powerful. But here's the other piece to that. It depends on what your faith resides in. Okay? Because when you look at the world, and think about this, as was being stated earlier, the Creator, the Word, the Malachim, all exist outside of this physical world. They see the physical world in a totally different form or fashion than we see the physical world because we trapped in it. But if we are now connected to the Most High by His Spirit, and He's elevating us, Yisra'el, He had to bring them up from Mitzrayim, meaning they had to be elevated. You look that word up, it's the same word which is ulah, ascend. He had to bring them up. Why? Because He wants to raise us above what the situation is on this physical world. And when you raised above it, it's, and we've used this term before, and I'm sure you know what it means, it's having a panoramic view, or a bird's eye view, I'm sorry. Having a bird's eye view. When you have a bird's eye view, that means the higher up you go, you get to see more of the lay of the land. But don't just look at it in a physical sense of seeing the physical lay of the land. What you actually see, you see the movement. You see everything that they're doing. You see how they're motivating everything that's going on in this physical world. Listen, fans. Everything that's going on in the physical world outside of those people connected to the Most High is being moved and motivated by the adversary. You may not be able to see it all right now, but if you continue with the Creator, if you be firm, stand on that word, not allow everything that comes to you to cause you to be shaken up, continue to build that Holy Spirit that He placed in you, and it continues to grow, and your eyesight starts to change. You start to see things the way He sees things, and you see the reality of what's going on in this physical world. All of it is a farce. All of it is theatrical. Name a program. Name any type of group that's supposed to be doing something remotely positive. It's a lie. Everything in this physical world. But the only way we can see it is if we have faith. We have to have faith. Faith in what? Faith, first and foremost, in the word of Yah. And what I mean by that, I mean in Yahushua HaMashiach. It's got, we have faith in Yahushua HaMashiach. And we continue with Him. See, He opens our hearts and our minds so that we can see everything that's going on. Because there are things happening in the world today, and, you know, you got these two groups, and I'm just going to use our country for example. You have the conservatives and the liberals. Both of them have interesting points that coincide with a teaching of the Torah. But overall, both groups are liars. And both groups are leading the world astray. Most High willing. And again, Most High willing. After we finish going through the commandments, the Most High gave me a thought. The truth about Christianity. And Abba willing, that's going to be the next topic we're going to get into, Asheret Hadvarim. But for now, when you think about everything that's going on in the world, one of the things that I've learned, like I mentioned before, I'm not a political person. Never been involved in politics. I voted for Obama twice. You know why? Because he was a black man. And I wanted to see if having a black man in the office is going to make a difference. What I learned, it doesn't. So the next president that came about, I looked closer. I actually followed the Trump presidency. That's the first. And what I learned is that's just corrupt. It doesn't make a difference. Democrat, Republican, progressive, it does not make a difference. There's a show that's being played. When I think about it, I think about the image of the Godfather. Y'all know that movie from years ago and how they had the symbol for the Godfather was this hand, this hidden hand, and the puppet strings. Because the Godfather is supposed to be the puppeteer. See, remember, the Godfather is the one who had all the politicians in his pocket. You know, he was a criminal. But because he had money, he had power. Because he had power, he had influence. Symbolic. So you know who the Godfather actually points to is none other than that old serpent. So when you're looking at everything that's going on in the world today, all you are doing, you're watching people put on a show. And the adversary and his minions are the ones that's working those puppet strings. That's all. But in order for us to see that and really grasp the reality of that, we have to be deeply ingrained in that word. See, that's why the word out of all religious documents is the one that's under attack the most. The adversary knows where the power is. He understands that. Let's get a little bit more into our lesson. What time, man? How much time we got? All right, got an hour left. Now, the word Amon, get a little further into that definition, it is considered to be a primitive root. And if that's properly, and whenever you get into this strong, exhaustive concordance, and it is defined as properly, they understood this is what this word has as its meaning, to build up or support. Now think about that. And again, the Mouret who taught last night, he mentioned that in the lesson. When it says to believe Yahweh, what it's actually telling us, to build up Yahweh. Question, how do we build up the Most High? Even mean to support. And think about the definition of the term itself. What does it mean to support? It means to bear all or part of the weight of or to hold up. It means to give assistance to enable, to function or act. Think about that. How does us fade into our belief? The Mouret who taught last week touched on a few things. He was getting into the power that we have inside of us and whether or not we believe in that power that we have inside. Now, if you understood what the brother was saying, this is not a power that exists separate from the Most High. This is a power that we receive from the Most High. But oftentimes, what the adversary does, he causes us to disbelieve that the Creator could ever deal with somebody as the likes of me, because what he does, he gets us as individuals to focus on all of our frailty, things that's wrong. See, we know us. Nobody knows us outside of the Most High better than we know us. See, we know the lives that we have been living. See. You know why? And it's a simple answer. Because we are with ourselves all the time. And that may not even make sense to people. But if you follow what's being taught, hopefully you see what's being said. We know the things we do behind closed doors that nobody else can see. That is contrary to what the Most High has required. We know it. And the adversary plays on it. And when he plays on it, he gets us to start doubting as to whether or not the Creator can even use a sinner like us. That's why you have people saying, I think I'm the worst sinner in the congregation. Who hasn't felt that way? Brother Shaul even wrote it about himself. One of the other prophets, he wrote how he was of unclean lips. In other words, what we're supposed to learn from that, no human being is worthy of it. But the Creator is showing forth is His love to us. And in spite of you not being worthy, if you got that seed, that mustard seed of faith, I can still work with you. Because what the adversary doesn't allow us to focus on is the potential. We are all sinners and have fallen short of the glory of the Most High. We are all guilty in His sight. But we all have that potential. Why? Because we have the Spirit of life in us. And He gave us that Spirit of life. And He knows within that Spirit of life that comes from Him, there's hope. But we have to believe that. No, we're not perfect. But if we're living our lives according to that word, and let me add this, the best that we can, whatever you know to do that is right, live it. If all you know about is the Sabbath day, making sure that you're keeping the Sabbath day the best you can, that's what you do. Whatever it is, because that shows that you have potential. That's what the Creator looks at. But if the adversary can cause us, again, to not believe in that, and what is he doing? He's beating you. He's working that body. And when you work that body enough, those legs start to get a little wobbly. And then you get them in that head a good couple times, that person going out. You done knocked them out. That's why he wants warriors and women who are prepared for the battle. And how do we get ready for battle? We got to experience. We got to get in the ring. We have some fighters in the congregation. You can stand up. You can shadow box. You can do all these little techniques and practice and things like that. But until you get in that ring and actually spar, you're not really aware of what you're capable of doing. So the Creator allows situations to come up in our lives. He makes sure that we are battle-tested and battle-ready, because what we're facing right now with this whole vaccine, that ain't nothing compared to what's coming down the line. We have stories. The brother touched on it last week. We have stories and narratives where people lost their lives, not just their jobs. They lost their lives because of what they believe. Let me share something with you. I don't care what kind of job you got. No job cares anything about you. Because if anything happens to you, guess what? You got a whole 100 other people ready to take your spot. They don't care. That's the reality. We give our lives to these jobs thinking that they're going to give us back. No, they will not. I'll tell you who will. Our Heavenly Father. That's who we dedicate our lives to. That's who we put, as the brother said, all faith. That's the good hands, people. See? Who are you insured by? That job is not security for you. As we are seeing, the job is going to go whatever way the system tells the job to go, in spite of how much of a good worker you are. Sad about it with this whole hospital not accepting the religious exemption for the vaccination. Hold up, hospital. I thought y'all took an oath as doctors for the benefit and for the well-being of people. Yet you ready to enforce upon people an experimental vaccine. You don't even know what's going to happen down the line. There's evidence that shows it's not even preventing people from getting the virus. So what difference does it make? It's not even saving a person's life. They say, well, it's going to lessen the effects of the symptom. That's a lie, because one of the worst effects is death. People have died after taking the vaccine. What has it done? But they don't care about you because they are part of the same agenda. That's why. I would want us to separate from this world system, and see the world system for what it is. It's orchestrated and operated from A to Z by none other than that old serpent. This is not our world. What did Mashiach say? Or do we not believe that? My kingdom is not of this world. That's what he says. If we are following him like Abraham, he looks for a city whose builder and maker is Yah. Not anything this world has to offer us belong here. We're pilgrims, we're passing through. But do we believe that, family? Do we believe that? Or are we playing church like everybody else is? See? Let's go a little further. He said, the word faith, again, properly to build up or support, right? And we want to stay right there. Now, the primary meaning is that of providing stability and confidence, like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. So that goes to the other definition where it says to foster as a parent or nurse. Because, again, when you talk about to foster someone or something, same idea, courage or to promote the development of, all right? To promote the development. And one of the things that the Creator has been teaching us for some time now is growth and development. Growth and development. See, when we look at the Bible, what people see, this is when we look at it from the carnal perspective. We got the Old Testament and New Testament. Let's close it up. This is what it is. So we got some people who accept the Old Testament, and they're not going any further than the Old Testament. So anything that's in the New Testament that they believe is contrary to the Old Testament, they just throw out the baby with the bathwater, as they say. You have the New Testament believers who say, oh, no, we don't have to do the Old Testament anymore. We're doing things according to the New Testament. So I'm just going to stick with the New Testament, and I'm going to stick with my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And they throw out the Old Testament, again, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But what the Most High is helping us to see, Old Testament, New Testament, it's all his word. And when we look at that, what we see growing. We see developing. We see a system that at one point required the sacrifice of animals. And now that system no longer requires the sacrifice of animals. What happened? It's called growth and development. That's what it's called. It's not out with the old, in with the new. It was always the intent and purpose. So now we have the Mashiach, Yahushua, come, and he did what he did. So where do we go now? So all we have is the Tanakh and the Brit HaKadoshah. So we go back to that template, and we study to find out what the order is. And the order has to be designed according to what the template says, because we are in a new era now. We are in a new era. There's no doubt about that. Because throughout the course of humanity's existence, the Most High has been shaping and molding. You see, if I can just share one more point with you, then we're going to move on. When we look at the 7 days of creation, 6 of those days, right, he said you can labor, do all you want. And he is allowing humanity to experience everything that they're experiencing. So keep in mind, when we get connected to the Most High and our mind is now elevated and we're seeing it from that bird's eye view, we're now looking at everything that's going on in this world just the same way the Creator can see it, okay? And we're watching it and we're observing it. Not only from the bird's eye view, but now once he elevates that mind, if he can just walk with me for a minute, or sometimes I wish. Your mind elevates and you can see everything, and then it's like now after you've seen and you've witnessed it, now your mind comes back down and then you're right in the midst of it. If I can do animation and make cartoons or what it is, I would be showing me, I show it to you that way. but hopefully everybody is at least following along in the explanation that's being provided, okay? But now we've seen it. Now we're back down in it. But because we've seen it, now we have the knowledge or the information that we need to learn how to navigate through it. We see what's happening. We know what's happening. Now we have to see in the day-to-day experience what it means to live according to faith. See? How many of us feel stable? Anybody worried about losing your job? Think about it. Have the circumstances caused our leg to tremble? Think about it. Don't worry. And I'm saying don't worry in the sense that, number one, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Okay? One day at a time. Don't worry weeks down the line or months down the line. We in the Sabbath day, our focal point should be the Sabbath day. Don't worry about tomorrow until you wake up tomorrow and you live to see it. Because there's a possibility you may not even live to see it. So you'd have wasted time today worrying about tomorrow and you ain't even going to see tomorrow. That's how we got to start living. One day at a time. And each day that we wake up, you give praise to the Most High for allowing you to see that day. Each day. And we take on that day as it comes. Okay? Stories we wanted to go through. One was about Abraham being promised a child. We read that in Genesis chapter 15. Okay? He says in verse 4, "And behold, the word of Yahweh came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir," talking about his servant, Eliezer. He said, "But he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." Okay? And then we got down to verse 6. This is the first time that the word Aman is used. And it says, "And he believed in Yahweh." In other words, what does it say? He supported. He built up. Whatever that is that the Most High said, that Abraham believed. He believed that he was going to have his own child, that Eliezer, his servant, was not going to be the heir of his house. So then we go to chapter 16, right? So listen to what Sister Sarah says. She says in verse 2, "And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold now, Yahweh has restrained me from bearing. I pray you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may be built up by her." Now, if you look up that word in the Hebrew, when it says, "I may have children," no, it actually should have read, "I may be built up by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Because remember, what Abram believes is that the Most High is going to bless him with his own seed. So it was suggested, well, you know that I'm barren, so I have my handmaid here. Maybe he's going to use my handmaid and build up children for us that way. So he hearkened to his wife. And verse 4 says, "He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived." Right? So again, Abraham believed that Yahweh would bless him with an heir that way. So we go to the 17th chapter now. As we're reading these little excerpts, keep in mind, years are passing. Now, when we're reading in the Bible, chapter 16, chapter 17, we think of these things happening right in a row, bam, bam, bam. No, life is happening. They're living. But then these experiences, because they're written one after another, we don't realize that in some cases, years are passing. He says, matter of fact, at this time, it says, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, time has passed. But I believe when he left his father's house, he was 75 years old. So now at least you got 24 years have passed. "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." He says, "Neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. for a father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a mighty one to you and to your seed after you. So he's establishing now that he is going to be in a covenant with him. He later goes on to give him the token of that covenant, which was circumcision. You drop down to verse 15. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as far for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Right? And you got down to verse 19. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 18. And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, Abraham was satisfied to have Ishmael as that son, as that heir. But what we are learning is that when the Most High told him that, he was talking about having a child through Sarah. Abraham believed he was going to have a child, but what Abraham didn't do, saying how that was going to happen, because he hadn't grown. So when his wife suggested Hagar, he believed it. Because in his mind, it's just a matter of him having that child, if that child coming from his loins. He didn't even factor in the fact that the child that the Most High actually promised him would come from his loins as well as his wife's loins. Okay? So he says, again, and Abraham said to Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And Elohim said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. And you shall call his name Yitzchak. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Now, keep in mind, he's telling this to Abraham. Now he has to tell this to Sarah. So in chapter 18, starting in verse 9, it says, and they said and said, this is when Abraham is met by the three men. And down in verse 9, it says, and they said unto him, where is Sarai your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarai your wife shall have a son. And Sarai heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarai were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So think about this. Only was Sarah naturally barren, unable to have children. Time has passed. They both got older. She has now surpassed the age that women can have children. So think about what the Creator's doing here. Okay? He could have very well blessed Sarah, opened her womb up at an age where she was supposed to be able to have children. But he waited until she reached past the age of childbearing. He waited. Today, even today, they say that when women have a child in their 50s, I believe, how there's a danger, more danger. There's always a danger whenever a woman has a child. I believe it was taught some time ago that whenever a woman is bearing a child, that's the closest that they come to death from actually dying because of everything that takes place within the body. But when you reach a certain age, they even recommend that you not even have children. But we're painting a picture so we can see what it is that the Most High is doing, because what we're talking about faith. So the Creator, basically, he has allowed what we believe to be an impossible situation. Okay? Verse 12, Genesis 18. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master, being old also? And listen to what happened. She laughed within herself. This is not like she bust out laughing. In her mind, she's doing this. Verse 13, and Yahweh said unto Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? And we want to sit on that one. Because when we think about what we have to face, that's the question that we all have to ask ourselves.
Is anything too hard for Yahweh?
What is it that the Creator can't do? And, you know, sometimes you may run across the skeptics and the unbelievers out there, and they want to ask you what they believe to be these intelligent, philosophical questions about the Most High. Oh, I can name something that the Creator can't do. The Creator can't make something greater than himself. And they think they wise. And see what they think they do. That's one of them gotcha questions. Gotcha. Is anything too hard for the Most High? Yep, the Most High can't make something greater than itself. Question. Who would do that? But what the Creator did do was this. He created something equivalent. He created something that can utilize the very same power that he possesses. He did that. But let's move on. That's neither here nor there. The point for us that we need to get from this, is there anything that our Heavenly Father can't accomplish? Matter of fact, my wife, she made a shirt. She says, it's in the shirt, it says, my God is bigger COVID-19. And he is, you know. And let's just add to that. Not only is the Most High greater than COVID-19, he created within us what's called an immune system for the intent and purpose of fighting off anything that enters the body. He did that. And furthermore, he created foods on this planet that if we eat certain types of food, we can build and we can strengthen that immune system to fight off any type of virus. And what happens in society today, people who come to the realization of that and they begin to teach other people, you know what they do? They kill them. Now, I'm not a Dr. Sabi devotee, but I believe a lot of what he was teaching in regards to nutrition has truth to it. There's another gentleman, I can never remember his name. I'm going to have to look that name up and tell y'all what his name is, but I can tell you the documentary that was made about him, A Beautiful Truth. His sister had some type of cancer, maybe leukemia or something, and he created a specific diet for her, and it wiped it away. Everything that humanity needs to survive, the Most High has created it. We just have to utilize it. We have to learn about it, and we have to utilize it. Again, this is what he gave the spirit of man to us for, to learn about everything in the physical world and how to use it for our benefit, you see? Let's go back to Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for Yahweh? He said, at the time I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, let's fast forward. Let's go to Ivrit chapter 11, starting at verse 11. It says, through faith. So now, not only do we learn that Abraham had to exhibit faith, now we're learning through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. In other words, she had to believe that the Most High was capable of doing that. That's why he asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? She had to say, no, Adonai, there's nothing too hard for you. And that allowed him now to open up her womb. Says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, talk about Abraham because of how old he was. Then therefore sprang there of even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. So again, both Abraham and Sarah exhibited faith. They built up and they supported what Yahweh had said. Do we build up? Do we support what we are taught? Let's keep it moving. Now there's a term we're going to look at. You find this word used in Genesis chapter 42 and verse 20, and you find this word used in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 26. I'm going to read both passages to you now. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. This is Joseph talking to his brothers, telling them to bring Benjamin to him, okay? But when he says, so shall your words be verified, is what we want to focus on. And the next passage is 1 Kings 8, 26. And now, O Elohim of Israel, let your word, I pray you, be verified, which you spake to your servant David, my father. Now, in both of these verses, it uses the term verified. The word verified, what it means is to substantiate. Let your words be substantiated. It means to demonstrate the truth of, to show beyond doubt. The word verified. But you know where the word verified it comes from? It's the very same term, aman. Look it up. Aman. But they translate it as verified because it also has that connotation based on this context, to substantiate. So when we come across this verse, let's go back to Ibrit chapter 11, but let's go to verse 1 this time. And listen to what the Torah is teaching. And what he's doing, he's showing the consistency of this term and what it means. So he says, now faith is the substance. See, even the idea of verifying, meaning to substantiate, the word substantiate is based on the term substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence is proof. Do we understand what that means? We build up, we support the Most High in the world, right? When we do that, do we realize we are the proof? Now, the world may listen to that and laugh at that. Man, get out of here. So you're saying that just because you're doing it, that means that the Most High exists? Absolutely. And you know what's going to be a testimony to that? And I hate to go and take it to this extreme, but it's the truth. When you stand before him, unless you change, you repent, you stand before him, you can never say you didn't know the truth because you came across one of his servants. And again, when we were talking over a week ago, you know, these people out there, they see us and they know, oh, I see this. Oh, that means they can't have this, they can't have that. That's good that you realize that. But at the same time, you know what you're telling us? You know how you're supposed to be living. Oh, well, see, I didn't know. Hold up. What about your cousins? You knew everything they were supposed to do, that you were supposed to do. What about your in-laws? What about your coworkers? You've seen all these things going on, and you've seen that they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And you notice that every time your neighbor, every Saturday, they're coming out their house, they're packing up, and they're going somewhere looking like they dressed up for something. You see that. And not only did you see that, you've talked to them, and they've told you, I can't do this on this day because I'm a Sabbath keeper. So you know what they were doing. We don't have to go and say, hey, the Lord thy God says to do this and do that. No, live that word. That's your example. When they ask you a question, be ready to give them an answer. That's all. be ready to give that answer. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. In other words, it was because of their faith. It was a testimony of who they were. Testimony of who we are. Is it? Think about it. How do we obtain faith? Let's go to Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name Yahweh shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Did you hear that? Let's go back to what we talked about a little earlier. Everybody has the Holy Spirit. Everybody can get revelation from the Most High. But here's the question. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What's the purpose of a preacher when everybody's getting revelation by the Holy Spirit? And then furthermore, he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? How? How are you going to get up there in that pulpit, behind that lectern, at that table, front and center, for the world to see, for the world to hear, if the Most High didn't give you a word and say, go tell my people what this word is? How are you going to do that if he didn't do that for you? Now, after asking that question, how many millions of people we got out here doing exactly that? They raised themselves up and made themselves teachers, not realizing they're going to be responsible for leading a lot of people astray. Let's continue. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the good news. For Yeshayahu said, Yahweh has believed our report. Who believe? Who actually believe? And when you hear that, here's the question. When he says, who has believed our report? Yeshayahu, at that time, he's speaking on behalf from a prophetic lineage. Just like Brother Shaul when he says, for we know the Torah spirit. He's speaking on behalf of a prophetic lineage, those who are in his class. That's what Yeshayahu is doing. Isaiah, that is, I'm sorry. So then in verse 17, it says, So then, faith comes by hearing. Listen to that. Faith comes by hearing. Now, how important does that now make the preacher? This explains why Moshe said, Shema Israel. Why Yahusha said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. He says in Romans 15:4, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Again, come by hearing, hearing by the word of Yah. Question, what do we believe? What do we rest our faith in? And this is a question that you, as an individual that's hearing my voice, need to ask yourself. It's not about what your spouse believes. It's not about what your parents believe. It's not about what your children believe. It's not about what your friends believe. What do you as an individual believe? All by yourself. What do you believe? So we're going to close out. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. says, starting off, in the third year of the reign of Yahudah, king of Yahudah, King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, unto Yerushalayim, and besieged it. And Yahweh gave Yahuyakim, king of Yahudah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of Elohim, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So what they're basically doing, how we would word that today, they are setting up to indoctrinate them. Okay? Listen to what happened. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the sons of Yahudah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here we have a situation in which provisions are being given, but Daniel's saying, we don't want those provisions, okay? And it's just him and the three, you know, the Hebrew brothers. Verse 9. Now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now, pray about that in your convenience. But we just want to touch that just for a moment. And what are we learning from that? Because as we were taught, those things that were written aforetime were written for that, to teach us that we may have patience, that we may have hope. In Proverbs chapter, listen to what the scripture says. When a man's ways please Yahweh, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now see, here's what's not going to happen. So we got a situation brewing in our world today, right? And somebody come across this scripture and they want the peace to be made with their enemies and say, let me hurry up, give myself to God, and let me make sure I'm doing right by the name. No, you ain't going to rush and do it and things are going to go your way that way. See, what this is put there to teach us is that every day, see, whether it be in times of peace, whether it be in times of trouble, every day we should strive to make sure that our ways please Yahweh. See, not just when things are getting difficult. See, that's what the swine does. That's one of the reasons why he said not to eat that animal, because of that character. It only comes around when they want something from you. I don't want that. You want things to be right in your life. You want things to be made good with your enemies. Make sure that every single day of your life you are striving to do what is pleasing in the eyes of the Creator. And when these situations come about, he can make things happen for you. See? Why do you think this story then? That's so you can read it to one of the children and put them to bed at night? Of course not. They were written for our learning. What do we learn from it? Let's read a little further. Now, he said again, now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuch. Now, and before we go on, how do we know this to be true? How do we know this right here to be true? Now, let's take your mind back. Remember, whenever a question is asked, open that word up. Of course, open that word in your mind. Allow that Ruach HaKodesh to scan the entirety of that word. Go back to Bereshit, Genesis. Remember Esau and Jacob? Esau said he was going to kill Jacob when his father died. But by the time they actually meet, why didn't he kill him? Because Yahweh made Jacob favorable. Think about Joseph. We read about a story, I believe, maybe earlier this week with Potiphar. Joseph had favor with Potiphar until his wife lied on him. Then they put him in prison. Then Joseph gained favor with the prison keeper. And then after the butler and the wine, the butler and the baker had their issues with the dreams, and one returned to the side of the Pharaoh to work with the Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. He remembered Joseph. And then Joseph was introduced to the Pharaoh. Now the Pharaoh found favor in Joseph. Now Joseph became the number two man. So we see, according to the word, when you're doing things right according to the Most High and you're doing what's pleasing in His sight, He can make your enemies be favorable to you. But do we believe what the Bible teaching us? Why is it there? And now we see an exact same thing happening with Daniel. He is substantiating his word. Believe Yahweh, so shall you be established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Okay, verse 10. It says, and the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear, master, the king. I fear my master, the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me in danger my head to the king. So he was worried about, if you don't eat this food, he's going to notice that y'all getting sick. That's basically what he's saying. But so if he sees that he's going to do something with me because I'm not doing my job to take care of y'all. So then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he says, prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us pulse. You look that up, it comes from the term zara'un, which means something that is sown. So he's talking about vegetation. Let them give us vegetation to eat and water to drink. So in our current situation, right, the king's meat is comparable to the vaccine they're trying to push on everybody. But the pulse is exactly the same. We believe that our food should be our medicine, and our medicine, our food. That's why the Most High created it. He created these things to give us peak and optimal health. And even when you look at the pharmaceutical industry, where does medication come from? Medication comes from either plants or some other chemical that they draw from what Abba created. So what we're saying, we're not going to take this that y'all done concocted, because they done put a little something else in there. Why not just let us vaccinate ourselves? You know, I was going to send something out to y'all, but I said, no, I ain't going to send that to y'all. No, I just tell y'all. From now on, what we should stop doing is identifying as being vaccinated. You know? So if a man can identify as a woman and a woman can identify as a man, how come we can't identify as vaccinated? Explain that one to me. So from here on out, they ask you, are you vaccinated? Yeah, I'm vaccinated. Well, where's your vaccinated card? Oh, I don't have my card with me, but I identify as being vaccinated. Use their own logic against them sometimes. But anyway, let's keep moving. Daniel 1:13 says, then let our countenance be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as you see, deal with your servant. For he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel standing in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. So there's a big time story for us, friends. Look at the example God has given to us in his word. When situations like this come about, and they're trying to force something on you that we are refusing due to it being unclean. Stand on that word. Not only during the time where they're trying to enforce something upon you, but after today, if this whole situation with the forced vaccination shall pass, continue standing on that word. Continue obeying the voice of the Most High. Continue submitting to the will of the Most High. Continue striving to do what is pleasing to the Most High. Not for the purpose getting some benefit in times of trouble. Why should we do that? What's the greatest command in that word? It says, Shema Israel, hear. And when he says to hear, see, that's briefly. He's saying to listen attentively. You see? You know how people say in one ear, out the other ear? No. That's not how we want to listen to that word. And let me say this again, okay? When somebody is teaching and people are posting, what that implies is that you're not paying attention to the teacher. Now, granted, I'll give you all this. Sometimes when you're teaching, or sometimes when someone is teaching and you're listening, sometimes they may say something and your mind may be on that point and the creator may start opening things up about that particular point. That's a little different because you're still listening to the creator. And then after the creator has shown something to you in regard to that point, then you get back to listening to the teacher. That's different. But when you're outright doing something other than focusing or listening, you know what you're missing out on? The scripture says that faith comes by hearing. See, if the adversary can distract you from listening to what the Most High is teaching, you are missing on what can build your faith. So just keep that in mind, okay? Keep that in mind as we continue through the rest of the Sabbath day, as we have another brother coming up shortly. Be'eshem Yahusha HaMashiach. I pray that everybody has learned a little bit, but nevertheless, hopefully we got something at least from it. Okay? Now, Yahusha HaMashiach, holy, most precious name, rest of you, Yahweh, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. Trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh,
the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we ask you to engrave upon our hearts and upon our minds your word. We ask that you strengthen us, that we may be the people you desire us to be. Continue shaping us, molding us, the likeness of you. In Yahushua HaMashiach's holy and most precious name we pray. And may you bless the teacher who's coming forth for Surah Parasha, that he too may bring forth words of edification to build your people, Yisrael. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom.
All things are possible when we believe. Old chains are breakable when we receive Yahweh. You keep your promises. If you say